This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. For more than 20 years, Express Cincinnati, which is now known as Movers and Makers, has been raising awareness about the work of local nonprofit groups in the areas of art, culture, and philanthropy. The publication recently broadened its mission to cover the individuals who make things happen in our community and those who simply make amazing things. And joining us to look at the changes at the publication, as well as the state of Cincinnati's nonprofit community, are Jim Yunker, CEO of the nonprofit consultancy, The Yunker Group, Director of Donor Relations at the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Philip Lanham, and Tom Mariner, co-publisher of Movers and Makers. And you can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, Jim, and Philip, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
By way of introduction, Philip, tell us about the Greater Cincinnati Foundation and its role in the community.
So the Greater Cincinnati Foundation is the community foundation for our region, and it's powered by the generosity of our donors to improve the community for everybody. And my role there is I have the privilege of working with the generous individuals and families that give of their personal resources to this community.
So you're an umbrella group for nonprofits. Is that a good way to describe it?
That's a great way to describe it.
And Jim, what about the Yunker Group and your role in the community and the organization?
Right. We're a full-service management and fundraising consulting firm working with nonprofits of all sizes and types. From executive search, succession planning, strategic planning, and fundraising.
Okay. Tom, tell me, what was Express Cincinnati?
Well, Express was a print and later online publication, both sources. It was founded in 1995, and the basic concept was that it would be an outlet through which nonprofit organizations could promote their fundraising events and activities, and also showcase the folks, the sponsors, the donors, and their volunteer leadership who were giving them of their time and treasure. And so it existed until our last issue was in December of this past year, and it was time for a change.
And the name change actually was official on, what, January 27th?
Correct, yes. Our first issue was published last Wednesday.
So why? What was the what's changed as part of this new name, this rebranding?
Well, the rebranding is, number one, the name Express didn't really adequately convey our nature and purpose and what we're all about and our mission and our goals. And so we wanted a name that, that better reflected that. Movers and Makers really has to do with spotlighting the catalysts and the creative class, the people who are really shaping the future of arts, culture, and community engagement in the city. So that's behind the name. But we also, we used to be printed on a high-quality newsprint. So we felt that that, as a physical product, didn't really adequately reflect the sophistication and the quality of our content, of our readers, or of the advertisers who support us. And so we wanted to convey things in a much more beautiful and attractive fashion.
So when you started Express Cincinnati 20 years ago, what was your thinking behind that? What was your driving reason for creating that?
Well, I actually can't take credit for founding the publication. Mike and Nancy O'Connor founded Express in 1995. My wife, Elizabeth Mariner, and I bought Express in 2008. But I think their thinking was it was an extension, really, of what we used to kind of call the society pages that existed in the daily and the weekly publications for many years, in which they would show the people who were being honored and feted by nonprofits. And their goal there was to help spread the word and help attract people to become involved in fundraising for nonprofit organizations.
Jim, define that for us. What is a nonprofit organization?
Nonprofit organizations are corporations. The stakeholders are really the community. So rather than at the end of the year, if there's a surplus, a corporation like a P&G will distribute the proceeds to stakeholders. In the case of nonprofits, the stakeholders are the community, and any surplus goes back into the programs. There are a variety of over 2,000 501c3 organizations in Hamilton County.
How many? 2,000?
Over 2,000.
Wow.
Right? And they take all sizes and shapes. Some of them are really charities. Some are nonprofits such as Kenwood Country Club or the Chamber. Most are chartered by the states in which they are founded. There are three that are federally chartered, American Red Cross, Boy Scouts of America, and I think the Olympic Committee are federally chartered. But they serve a great purpose in social services, the arts, religion, humanities, arts, particularly in the greater Cincinnati community, has the Arts Wave fundraising, which is kind of the umbrella group for all the arts waves or all the arts organizations.
2,000 in Hamilton County. Any idea how many nationally?
Over 1.2 million.
Wow.
That... Well, and we at Movers and Makers serve more than 500 of those on an annual basis. So,
now, Jim, what do you see as the primary challenges that are faced by nonprofits that you're consulting with?
The competition from all the other organizations. But the but leadership is a critical piece of the puzzle. Those organizations that have strong leaders are better equipped to serve the community and deliver their mission. And one of the services of the Unker Group is leadership development and executive search for CEOs and chief fundraisers.
Philip, what about in terms of donors in the area that you're working in? What are the major concerns and the challenges and the unmet needs that you face and what you're doing?
So at the Greater Science Foundation, our donors are telling us two major things that come to my mind. The first, they want to see the impact that their giving makes in our community. That is one thing that some nonprofits still struggle in showing that impact that their donors are making. And the second thing that really comes to my mind is they want their next generation of their families to get involved with their giving. And a good friend of mine, Sally Ospaugh, once said, philanthropy should be taught, not caught. And so we see more and more of our donors being deliberate in teaching their children, who are adult children generally, how to be generous back to this community.
Philip, is it correct to say there's a community of philanthropic individuals in Cincinnati, and are many of these same individuals involved in different areas of philanthropy?
Across the board, especially at the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, where we give across the board. We don't have a segment in only the arts or only in human services. Our donors, particularly with our donor advised funds, can direct their giving anywhere in the nonprofit sector.
So how do you see the changes at Movers and Makers? How do you see that serving the needs of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation and your specific work?
First of all, Tom and his team have been great partners to the foundation over the years, and this is just a continuation of that partnership with highlighting the donors behind the philanthropy. And we would not have the community that we have today if it was not for the generous individuals and families in this town. And spotlighting them in the publication will just inspire others to do the same.
And Jim, what about your reaction to the changes that Express is making in creating this new magazine?
Well, I think it's great. I think I agree with Philip that it highlights the donors, but I think it also highlights the volunteers, many of who are unsung in the very small organizations across the community. You hear about the major organizations, Children's Hospital, the CSO, and others, but there are many other very small organizations that wouldn't be able to provide the services without the volunteers. And I think Movers and Makers will, with increased editorial content that Tom and his wife are planning, will be able to help tell the stories. And fundraising is all about storytelling. And so those of us at the Unker Group are very excited about the prospects for the new format of the publication.
Tom, tell us what constitutes a mover and maker. That's the big question. How are you defining that?
Well, first off, the name actually comes from the term movers and shakers, which is excerpted from an 1874 poem by Arthur O'Shaughnessy called Ode. So we took that, and we wanted to make sure that we were including the creative class as well as those who exert leadership and influence. through contributions, etc. And so a mover is someone who really inspires others or enables others to do great work, whether that be through leadership, through financial contributions, or however that might work. The makers are really the people with ideas and the innovators and the creatives. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be involved in arts or in the creative side of things. It could certainly be someone who's coming up with an innovative new way to raise money or to I would say that people involved in medical research can be certainly on the maker side of things if they're doing phenomenal things to cure diseases, etc. So and the terms are certainly not mutually exclusive.
So someone can be both a mover and a maker?
Yes. And our cover profile for this month is Jill Meyer, who is CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Regional Chamber, and her husband, Awadajan Pratt, who is a classical pianist and on the faculty at CCM. And one could argue that they are each, in their own way, both movers and makers. But on the surface, you might say, well, that Jill, in her capacity in the business side, is a mover, and Awadajan, the creative, is a maker. But they both exert leadership. They both exert creativity. And so that was part of our thinking in showcasing them for this first issue.
Jim, you know, at one time it seemed like it used to be about the size of the monetary donations, whether it was a large donation or a small one. And that still gets attention today. But it seems like younger professionals today are as much inclined to donate their time and talents to support community efforts. Is that what you're seeing in your consultancy?
I think we're seeing that across all ages, frankly. But the crowdfunding and the Kickstarters are very, very popular. I've got a 24-year-old and a 26-year-old, and they're very much into that. But again, as you say, gifts of all sizes are important, and they all add up. In capital campaigns, for example, you do look for those who can make the exemplary large gifts, but every gift is important. A very successful fundraiser, Aaron Nesher, who raised millions of dollars both in Israel and the United States, had a saying which we've adopted at the Younger Group: people don't like to be solicited, so don't solicit them. People like to make gifts, help them to give. And that giving can be at any level, and they're all, as you said too, very important.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. And Tom, how do you go about identifying the folks who are movers and makers in the community?
Well, we're a small staff at our company. And so one of the things that we're going to do, in addition to our own homework, is begin to establish informal advisory groups that can serve as our kind of fingers out into the community, if you will, who can really help us identify not only the obvious people who are doing great things, but who are the people kind of beneath the surface, and who's out there doing things that nobody really knows about yet, perhaps. Maybe they're just kind of gurgling beneath the surface in terms of getting ready to emerge. And who are the young people that are coming on? We will not only be dealing with the top donors and the top organizational leadership. We want to show the up-and-comers as well. And across the spectrum of ethnicity and age, and it's something that's very important to us. But we do actually also want to encourage people to send us ideas give us enough to go on. Help us understand why a person is worthy of being profiled. But we certainly want to encourage people to send us ideas. We won't claim to know everyone in the city.
Now, how can they send you ideas, Tom?
Welcome to send them if they'd like to me at tmariner@moversmakers.org. There's no and in the middle, just moversmakers.org.
Who are some of the you talk about Jill Meyer and her husband? Who are some of the other movers and makers you've identified so far?
Well, it's a little difficult to kind of put names on things. I mean, if you really look at there are people at the upper echelon who are giving of their dollars to a wide range. You just think of, organizationally speaking, you think of what PNC has done in this community, and a lot of the banks and the law firms and the financial firms, etc. And they're the members of those organizations. I'm not sure it's so important necessarily to kind of identify exactly who they are, and I'm not sure that other than this upcoming next issue that we have really identified exactly who we're going to do. We're still very much in the evolution standpoint. But rest assured, they will be people who are really touching the lives and helping to shape our community in a much, much better way.
Well, and I take it you're probably going to be able to find all kinds of people to write about.
I don't think we're going to have any
problem here in Cincinnati.
I think that's one of the reasons that attracted us to this direction is that it allows us first and foremost to put a face on organizations and on events and causes and really make a stronger emotional connection. And allow the organizations to make a stronger emotional connection. In fact, this was something that was requested of us as we researched this name change. Executive directors of nonprofits kept coming back to what Jim alluded to earlier, storytelling. Help us tell our stories, be an advocate for our stories, and help us convey those to the community. And that's really our goal. If we feel we can do that in a positive way, then we'll increase the amount of impact we can have on the nonprofit sector as a whole and the community at large.
And Philip, let's talk a little more about the nonprofit community in Cincinnati. How would you characterize the impact of the nonprofit community here for someone who might not be familiar with how much impact it has in terms of in general and economically?
In one word, I would say impressive. From my personal involvement at the Cincinnati Zoo, where I am chairman of the Ambassador Council, I know that Thane Maynard and his team run a very lean ship, a lean organization, and they have an economic impact of $143 million in our community, yet they're the least publicly funded zoo in the state of Ohio. And Thane will tell you that that is a reflection of the community in which we live, that we run things very conservatively in this town, and our organizations reflect that culture.
Jim, now you work in other markets besides Cincinnati. How does Cincinnati compare with similar size cities in terms of nonprofit involvement in giving?
Cincinnati has been rated one of the top 10 generous communities in the country. There was a survey of, I think, 7 or 8 years ago that really made, I think it was Toledo, Columbus, and Cincinnati were right up in the top 10. We're a very generous community, and I think one of the things that I know some of our clients are surprised to learn, particularly boards who think of the PNCs, the banks, and what's that firm? Oh, Procter & Gamble. But when you really look at the source of funds, in 2014, the last year that we have statistics, of the $358 billion that came to charity in the United States, 72% came from individuals, 15% from foundations, and only 5% from corporations. And Cincinnati, and Philip could elaborate on that, but we have found through working in this community and others that most communities follow that same national trend. So to the point of your question, we're a very generous community.
Philip, do you want to elaborate on that?
What we see at GCF is the individual donors are driving most of the giving that we have at the foundation. In 2015, we awarded $92 million, and just about $70 million came from our donor-advised fund and other donor-directed funding. So the individuals, to Jim's point, drive the bus when it comes to charitable giving, and that is the most important thing our nonprofits can know when it comes to fundraising. It's the individual.
And Jim, give us a few examples of ways that nonprofits have improved the quality of life in the region.
Oh, boy. How long do we have?
Oh, about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay. Yeah. The Cincinnati Youth Collaborative, for example, the mentoring they do with mm-hmm. CPS students is just phenomenal. And I think they're some of the makers as well. The YMCAs, the Red Crosses, make significant impact whether it comes to disasters, whether it comes to health and wellness. There are a number of school districts have fundraising arms that provide additional funding over and above public levies. So there is just so many examples of how the nonprofit community makes our community much better.
And Tom, real quickly, tell us how people can access Movers and Makers.
Well, we distribute at more than 250 locations throughout Greater Cincinnati. And you can go to our website if you need to find a location, moversandmakers.org, or you can contact us directly at 513-771-5088, and we'll be glad to guide you to a location.
Those links are on our website, wvxu.org. And Tom, Jim, and Philip, thank you for being here today.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.